Our reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for reading that to us. I want to start off by having a little bit of an update, if you don't mind. It won't take long, but so many people have so kindly asked me, how's it going? How are you settling in? That I thought I'd share it with all of you. So it's a little bit of a curate's update, a bit of a diary of a curate. Take a few minutes, and I'll do it every now and again so you've got a bit of an idea what I'm getting up to, because I know it's a while since you've had a curate, and some of you might not know what being a curate's all about. So I'll let you know. I've moved home. Thanks for all your prayers and care for us as we moved. We've moved down to Knaresborough. We've made it quite homely. We are going to have a Sunday afternoon when you're all welcome to have a good old look round and a good old nose. And I'll let you know when that is and have a cup of tea. Yeah. We've got, the house is lovely. The garden's potentially going to be really lovely, but it's completely empty at the moment. Although we've got some things in and it's building up a little bit. Isn't it, Judith? Judith came to have a look. It's getting there. But when you're doing your garden, if you've got a garden and you're sort of sorting it out a little bit, if you find some plants that are perhaps a bit squashed and think, oh, they could do a bit more space, we're really happy to put them and give them a bit of love in our garden. And then we'll create a curacy house for future curates, where she's blooming. Because it was so sad when we moved in. There was nothing in there. So please keep us in your thoughts when you're sorting your gardens out. Curacy lasts between 3 to 4 years. So I am settling. Thank you very much. I really am settling here. But I'm really, really pleased that I've got 3 to 4 years to really settle with you, to really listen to what God's asking me to do here and to work with you for that. Okay. My first year is called a deacon year. So I'm a deacon at the moment. And there's two jobs that I need to do in my deacon year. There's lots of jobs, but two ones that I need to get used to. And Phil's helping, and we're planning this, aren't we? Baptisms and funerals. So they're the two things that I'll be working on in this next year, as amongst everything else that I'll be doing as well. And I am so, so lucky, and I've got such wonderful support from Phil and from all of you. So thank you for that. I feel very blessed, and I am tremendously thankful. A little bit about me from the past then. Well, a few of you know. I used to work as an educational psychologist. So I've got a lovely link to the reading today, haven't I? Because I can tell you about my gifts. And I'd say them with pride. And I do know that they are my gifts, and I know God's given them to me, and I know he's using them in the past, he's going to be using them in my future, and I'm using them now. My gifts are to support people, to encourage them. So encouragement and support. Okay. I was a teacher. As part of the pathway to becoming an educational psychologist, you needed to be a teacher. So I did teacher training after my degree, and I taught for a few years, about 7 altogether, I think, in a range of different schools. So it's wonderful that it's Education Sunday, because education is so, so important. So another gift I have is the gift of teaching. And that was mentioned, wasn't it, in the reading that we had. Okay, so that seamlessly brings me into the reading today, doesn't it? Hey, the idea that we're working as one body. But we all have different gifts and talents. Now, Phil said last week, he said, we've all got them. God's given us all talents, and we should stand proud with those talents and those gifts, because we've all got them. He's given them to every single person in the whole of the earth. We've all got them. But sometimes we don't feel that strong in ourselves, do we? We don't feel that strong that we can really use our gifts. And quite often, we can see the gifts in other people more than we can see our own gifts. I think that's true. I look at the people I love, I look at the people I know, and I can see the gifts that God's given them, and I can celebrate that. But sometimes it's hard to see it in ourselves, so we've got to encourage each other. And I task you, if you know someone, perhaps someone you love, perhaps someone you don't know that well, perhaps someone you're having a chat with, if you can see and you think, they don't know how brilliant they are, they don't know the gift that God's given them, let them know. Mention it to them. Because there's something absolutely beautiful about gently encouraging people and letting them know what their gifts are. So there might be someone in your mind, someone that God's placing in your mind at the moment when you're thinking, yeah, okay, God, I am going to let that person know what their gifts are. And if you can, see if you can mention and say, well, on Sunday we were talking about gifts and you came to mind because you have got the most amazing gift and I want you to know God gave you that. See if God's telling you to do that, perhaps. Okay. So, the reading went on to say, didn't it, that we have gifts that differ. We've all got different gifts. And the gifts that were talked about in the passage, there they are. The gift of prophecy, the gift of serving, of teaching, of encouraging, of giving generously, of diligent leading, of showing mercy. Do they spark anything in you? Do you have gifts in any of those areas? Perhaps you have them in a couple. Perhaps you know other people who've got them. And the idea is that we do link together. And if we hold strong together, we can do more for God and for God's purposes than we can do if we just hold on to those gifts by ourselves. Not to work individually, but to link together. Link together and listen to what God's asking us to do together. I know in your house groups, people are doing house groups, and you can get the materials from Phil as well, that looking at gifts is a big part of the next couple of weeks. So perhaps to think about those gifts and share in your groups or looking at materials a little bit more. So let's have a look at the very next verse after the ones with the four verses that Simon told us. It says that let love be genuine. God's giving us real indication, real guidance about how to use the gifts that he's given us. And he said, as Phil said last week, he said, we have to use them with love, genuine love. We've got to hold fast onto what is good. And we've got to love one another with mutual affection. Love each other with mutual affection. And we've got to outdo one another with that mutual affection. So God's giving us real strong guidance about how to outdo with each other. How to outdo, how wonderful that we've got to outdo each other with mutual affection. We've got to love each other more than the next person and the next person. We've got to really build up and be competitive about loving each other, outdoing with love. Gosh, how wonderful. But when we don't listen to God and when we don't follow that outdoing, we can get a bit mixed up, and our outdoing can go not about love and not about mutual affection. It can slip into competitiveness, can't it? It can slip into competitiveness around money, around financial matters, about financial gain. Not outdoing with love, but about outdoing because some people are very, very rich. And sometimes that outdoing makes that gap absolutely ginormous, sadly. Sometimes we have hierarchies. Some gifts are seen as more precious than others sometimes. And then we have people who are looked upon much more favourably than other people. Well, God's not saying to have competitiveness in those ways. God's saying to have competition, to outdo with mutual affection. We've got to hold on to this, because embracing each other's gifts is not always easy. It sounds it. Oh, let's all work together. Let's all work together in one body for Christ. But it's not always easy. And I want to take us on a little journey about that. I want to take us on a journey and use the work of Joan Chichester. Now, Joan, a Benedictine nun, has a lot to say. But I warn you, this journey is not comfortable. It's not a comfortable journey. And it will probably have an effect on us all. And when we think about the history of our world, and we think about the difficulties we're facing today. We've got difficulties enough in our country at the moment, haven't we? Got difficulties in the world. And as we look at how we as a Christian people can play our part, Joan has a message. And she says, of all things unacceptable to the human psyche, the notion of difference may well be amongst the most threatening. Difference can be very threatening. And it can be threatening in little ways, and it can be threatening in big ways. Now, you know that I've been just come through my ordination training, and I've been up at Mirfield, the most beautiful place, with wonderful monks who live together in common life together. They've chosen that life to be Christians, to be Benedictine monks together. And you'd think, oh, how wonderful, how lovely, what a wonderful time they'll have all getting along together, doing wonderful things together. It must be marvellous. But I've had the privilege of listening to the monks share their lives with us. And it's not easy for them. They talk about how they sit in silence to eat, certainly up until after morning prayer. And how the other people get on their nerves because they eat very loudly and that annoys them. Yeah? How one monk says, the chap above me, he wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and he cleans his room. And they don't all agree on what food to eat, how warm to make the building. And this is really true, because one of the members of our prayer group, Charles, he actually had to stay with them. It snowed and he got stuck and he had to live with the monks overnight. And he said, it's true. They're always not getting on that well. They find it hard to live a common life together. They all bring their difference. They all have their own ways. But they're trying to be one together, and it's not easy. And I think about family life. And I think about the relationships I have with the people that I love dearly. And it's not always easy, is it, to manage the difference we bring. And that's what we're called to do, to manage that difference. And it requires patience, it requires love, it requires care. as we pray and we ask for God's guidance for the day-to-day little things. Yeah? And then there's the big things in the world. Big things that we challenge us, that threaten us. So, let me read what Joan says. Uncomfortable, this. But Joan then goes on to let us know that in Jesus, in following Jesus, Jesus does have a way for us to move through this, and he gives us real, real hope. So Joan says, differences are a challenge to our small assumptions about the way the world really, really goes together. A white world, a male world, a Western world. They're all small slices of reality that they often try to be whole in themselves, but they're not. And Joan then talks about respect. Respect for absolutely everyone. And she says, respect for each other, for the Muslim veil, for the Chinese smile, for the African tribe. And that stretches us beyond ourselves. And she says, let us take the challenge of embracing the riches of God's world community. And let us question what is really, really important when we accept the challenge to live together in the whole world. When we accept the challenge to be one body for Christ together. And then she gives us our Christian hope. And she talks about a glorious burden. What a wonderful phrase, a glorious burden. The glorious burden of real Christianity. To follow the one who talked to the Samaritan, the Roman soldier. Difficult people to talk to in those times. And allowing them to be who they were. Allowing them to be themselves, to bring what they have to the group, to make one. Not easy. Not easy in our world. But that's the challenge. That's the challenge we're called. The glorious burden. And Henry Nguyen, gives us hope in that too. Henry was a Benedictine monk. And, no, he wasn't. He was a priest and a psychologist. Sorry, Henry. And he says, hidden in the ground on which we walk together, hidden in the ground are the talents that we offer each other. And he says, let us realise our contribution to our common life together. Hope. Hope. Our Christian burden. To take that on. As we manage the threat of difference, as we work together in a group for Christ, members together. Quite a tricky journey has an impact on me. And in light of that, what What are your talents? What talents do you bring to share and build each of us up with? To share and to build each other up. Because we are civilised, aren't we? We're a civilised group of people. I find the work of Margaret Mead fascinating. She's an anthropologist. And she questions, what are the earliest signs of civilization? What do you think? Clay pots? Iron? Agriculture? A healed leg bone? What do you think? Well, Margaret did lots and lots and lots of exploration. And she found out that healed leg bones were never ever found in competitive, savage societies. Never found. There may have been pots knocking about, they may have found iron, there might have been agriculture perhaps, but never a healed leg bone. Do you know why? Because you've got to work together, you've got to go beyond the individual. To enable someone to rest, to feed them, to take care of them while that leg bone heals. That's what makes a civilised society. And that's what we're being asked. That's what the world's being asked. That's what God wants for the world, isn't it? So Paul was talking to the Romans, and he was talking to the Galatians too. And the message is, the only thing that counts as faith is faith expressing itself through love, through our doings, through what we do together. Through not our individual, but grouping together all our talents, all our gifts together in that challenge, that burden of accepting difference. And showing it through love, like that healed leg bone, looking after people when they're down, when it's hard, when they're poor. Everyone. So, bringing together. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function. We're all together, trying to serve God. We've all got different gifts. Let love be genuine. Outdo each other with mutual affection. Outdo with that. And we take on the challenge of embracing the riches of God's world. I'd like to finish in prayer. Lord, you love us so dearly. You love each and every one in the world. You've given us all gifts and talents to use for your glory, to use to show your love. Help us to know our gifts, to use them for you, to use them in love, to use them for justice, to use them wisely. Amen.